Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Monday, January 2nd, year 2012, year of our Lord, 2012, the second day of the year. My goodness, here it is, 2012. Well, we're going to have open lines this first hour. If you have a question or comment, any thoughts about this upcoming new year that we're in, you're certainly welcome to share those with us at 800-313-9443. The second half hour, we'll have my friend Lucas, and we'll be talking about some of the current events. As I do most mornings, I've got some articles here from standeo.com, and one in particular concerns my home state, and it's written by Bob Simmons at the Lincoln County Journal newspaper in Lincoln County, Missouri. The title of it is A Year of Extreme, Severe 2011 Weather Covers Gamut in Year of Feast or Famine. And he goes on to say, Missouri weather in 2011 was anything but boring. From floods and drought to tornadoes and blizzards, the state saw more than a healthy dose of extreme weather events of every variety. Missouri saw many extreme weather events from its beginning that continued throughout most of the year, said Pat Junin, Missouri State Climatologist with the University of Missouri Extension Commercial Agricultural Program. We deserve some quiet time after what we experienced this past year. Well, feelings don't have much to do with weather, do they? It began with a cold, harsh winter. You know, last winter was cold, a lot of it was. Aided by a February blizzard, Columbia, Missouri received 53.4 inches of snow, causing it, many other cities, to rank the year among the snowiest on record. St. Louis, Columbia, and Kansas City all had top 10 snowiest winter seasons, with Columbia's falling short of its snowiest winter since 1889 by only 1.5 inches. Here's our first break. Call numbers 800-313-9443. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Monday, the second day of January. My goodness. Off to a new year. The top headline at Sandeo.com is 2011 saw a record 99 disasters for the United States, $35 billion, $35 billion with a B dollars in insured losses. And, of course, that doesn't count the uninsured losses. Article by Miguel Llanos at MSNBC, and he ends up by saying, and I've heard this from other reporters, that here's the final sentence here. Actually, this is from National Weather Service Director Jack Hayes. While we witnessed an unmatched succession of extremes in nearly every weather category this year, climate scientists have pointed to the likelihood that such extremes are not an anomaly, but maybe the new normal. I have to refer back to the paper I wrote in the fall of 2005 titled No Need for Panic, published in January 2006. So that was 7 years ago, 2005. What I said 7 years ago is that at some point in the future, bizarre, dangerous, violent weather events would become daily news, and they have become daily news, along with earthquakes and volcanoes becoming daily news. Now, it wasn't so long ago, when I say not so long ago, a few years ago, that we would go for typically, a year at a time, and maybe see one big earthquake in some place like China or somewhere. And, of course, that's changed. The number of large earthquakes is up by about 400%. And that's very scary for a lot of reasons. Because we know what's coming next. At least my students know. Those who've been a student of John Moore and the John Moore Radio Show, Professor McCanning, those who have read Dr. Velikowski's books, Zechariah Sitchin's books. We know it's coming. I don't name dates unless if I have a hard date that I can stand behind with good solid information, I'll certainly put out the date. I don't have any dates to put out right now. The one date I did have was December 2009. That was the time the government gave themselves to finish their main infrastructure for continuity of government contingency planning. Well, they reached that date came and went, obviously, and they continue to do things. One of my research team just sent me a note over the weekend that Walmart is building a computer data center in Colorado. Now, this is a big step for Walmart. All their corporate headquarters and infrastructure has always been in Bentonville, Arkansas. Always, always, always. This building a computer data center, which, by the way, is supposed to be done by fall, around the September-October timeframe, which is really fast. That's incredibly fast to build a large commercial building. Because there are certain things that can't be rushed. For example, when you pour the foundation, the concrete for the foundation, you can't do anything for 30 days until the concrete has enough time to cure, to gain enough strength to do the next step. And there's other things that involve construction materials and techniques that simply can't be rushed. So that's a real fast time frame to build a major commercial structure. Nine or 10 months. Very fast. But it's very significant in my opinion because it's just another example of, corporate America moving infrastructure to a place they consider safe, which of course in this case is Colorado. Let's look at some other Earth Changes headlines here. Hurricane-like winds wreak havoc in Nebraska. I read that article. Winds gusting 60, 80 miles an hour and knocking over high-profile vehicles, semi-tractor trailers, and so forth. Then the next headline, 100-mile-an-hour winds plow through Colorado. They do mention in these articles, by the way, that this is a jet stream coming down to the surface of the earth. A little bit of truth. A little bit of truth mixed in there. The jet stream coming to the surface of the planet. That's very significant also that they're actually telling some truth here and there. That's another thing I mentioned in my article, No Need for Panic. There's been multiple examples of that the past 5, 6, 7 years of the jet stream coming to the surface of the earth. We'll see more of that. Next headline. Fierce winds snarl highways, topple semis, more of the same. Then we go to Alaska where the Cleveland volcano is erupting, sending an ash cloud 15,000 feet into the sky. Then we go to ski resorts forced to make snow. They don't have enough snow for the ski resorts to stay open unless they make their own. Going to the other side of the planet, Cyclone Thane pummels India, killing 19. Then we go down south to the Philippines. More evacuations in flood-hit Philippines. A tremendous amount of population in the Philippines lives very near sea level. Just a huge, huge percentage of the population. Next headline, going to the other side of the planet, United Kingdom beach swamped in 3 feet of foam. I didn't read that article. I don't know if it's a natural event or a human-made event. Going back to the other side of the planet, Western India shaken by 160 earthquakes in December. Then an article I already mentioned, A Year of Extremes, this Missouri article about the 2011 weather events. Then another article titled, Pennsylvania Sinkhole Threatens Graves at Historic Cemetery. Then moving back to the Pacific, typhoons may trigger major earthquakes, new study says. Then we have, going to Japan, New Year Despair for Japan's nuclear refugees. And more about Japan. Fukushima nuclear cleanup could take 30 years. And last but not least, billion-dollar pest, United States beetle developing resistance to widely used genetically modified crops. Well, the promise offered by Monsanto and genetically modified crops is smoke and mirrors. It's an attempt to capture commercial agriculture worldwide, which so far has had a lot of success as far as Monsanto's concerned. The Europeans are the smart ones when it comes to this. The Europeans are banning genetically modified crops from Europe. They have good scientists that have done their homework. They know the threat posed by genetically modified crops, and they have been banned in Europe, which is a good thing. It's too bad our scientists here, our good, honest scientists, can't get the ear of Congress over and above the well-paid lobbyists for Monsanto and do the same thing in the United States. It's really, really a shame. So what does 2012 hold for us? Well, I don't have a crystal ball. I can say with some accuracy we will have more earthquakes and more severe earthquakes. We will have more storms, hurricanes, and tornadoes. If you recall, there was days last year we had more than 300 tornadoes in one day. Breathtaking, isn't it? Absolutely breathtaking. The Cascade Mountains, well, they're not mountains. It's mostly dormant or semi-dormant volcanoes. That's what the Cascade Mountains are. Mount Rainier is getting active. Mount St. Helens is doing its thing. There's a lot of activity in the Pacific Northwest. A lot. A lot of activity in Yellowstone, a supervolcano. About 5-6 years ago, the United States Geological Survey installed more than 100 new sensing devices to sense what was going on up there in terms of earthquake activity, ground movement, ground temperature, and so forth. Yellowstone, by itself, could take out the United States. When I say take it out, destroy us economically. The ash cloud from Yellowstone could cover up a sizable percentage of the grain belt, wreaking havoc of the United States economy, causing massive relocations of populations to evacuate those areas. The 600-mile radius comes into my home state, Missouri, about 75, 80 miles at the northwest corner of Missouri. It's some of the most valuable agricultural real estate on the planet is what would be wiped out if Yellowstone was to blow its top. Plus the possibility of 1 or 2 years of no summer because of the cooling effect of the ash cloud blocking sunlight. That would be worldwide. That would not just be the United States, by the way, at least the Northern Hemisphere. Here's our break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
John Moore is taking your telephone calls right now on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Pick up the phone and join in the conversation. Call 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. And thanks for listening to RBN.
All right, I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore. It is Monday, the second day of January. And here we are, 2011's history, and 2012 is here. Talk a little bit about this Mayan calendar stuff. There's been a lot of attention to one of the several Mayan calendars. The ancient Mayans had a number of different calendars. The year 2012 does not appear in any of them. At least not in terms of our 2012. 2012 is part of the Georgian calendar. There is no 2012 in the Mayan calendar. The one Mayan calendar that's been focused on has to do with the ending of an age. Sort of like the
beginning of the end of the age of Aquarius and that kind of thing. It doesn't say that the world ends. There's nothing in any Mayan calendar, any Mayan records that make any kind of, any such statement. That's an extrapolation brought on by people giving their own interpretation to all that. Serious researchers like myself and Professor McCanny and others, John DiNardo, we don't name dates. Now, the NASA is run by the military. It's part of the military. They've been watching the 10th planet since 1979, watching it very carefully and tracking it. And once it got deeper into our solar system, it started acting like a comet, speeding up and slowing down as it came closer to and farther from various planetary-sized objects, making it somewhat unpredictable. Now, the best information, of course, is highly classified and within the vaults and the compartmentalized parts of NASA. That's where the best information is, and I don't have access to it. Professor McCanny doesn't. You don't. There may be people listening who do, but they're not talking. What I urge people to do is don't dwell on what morning can I wake up and see the 10th planet. All that's going to do is make you crazy. Don't go there. Figure out what the Navy veterans have done. If you can't, I'll tell you what the Navy veterans have done. The Navy veterans who have knowledge of what's coming at us, which is violently rising ocean levels along with the violent climate changes we're already experiencing. They chose a safe haven, the majority of them in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks, by the way, where they could move with their family and be self-sufficient with all the potable water that they needed, a place to grow fruits and vegetables, maybe have a couple of goats or a cow or two, some fruit trees, grape arbors, have some kind of job, retirement job. The typical military retirees in their early to mid-40s, and they start a new life without anguishing over any dates. They don't anguish over dates. They know what's coming. Once you're set up, and it takes years to do this, by the way, the stuff just doesn't pop up out of the ground. Unless you can buy a place that's already set up, which there's some out there. You can buy a home that's already set up to be self-sufficient, and Lord knows there's literally dozens, if not hundreds, of places like that in the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks. Once you're set up, you don't need to worry, because you've taken care of everything that you can possibly humanly do. And life will be grand. You can enjoy life and not be anguishing over dates or wondering when you're going to wake up and see a second sun in the sky. Which, by the way, NASA told us a year ago this month that one day in 2011, we'd wake up and see two suns in the sky. That was put out by NASA, not Professor McCanny or John Moore. That was put out by NASA. Obviously, that didn't happen. But that's about as bizarre and strange as anything could possibly be, is to wake up one morning and see two suns in the sky. Now, the reason I gave for that, they said there was going to be a supernova event. A supernova is an exploding star. I did talk to Professor McCanny about this. He said, John, yeah, these things happen. But first of all, you can't predict when they're going to happen. And when they do, generally, it lasts 2 or 3 days at the most, and then it's over with. Not for more than a month at a time, which is what NASA was saying in their press release a year ago. So, 2012, I will continue my work. Professor McCanny will continue his. All of you, I hope, will continue your research and study and hopefully reach conclusions that will benefit your long-term safety and security, along with the long-term safety and security of the people you care about. Hopefully that research and your study will bring you to the conclusion that you also need a safe haven. You also need to be self-sufficient in potable water and food and security and medical attention and so forth. Here's our bottom of the hour break. We should be back with Lucas in a few minutes. Stay tuned. The 2nd of January. Freeze-Dried Guy does not yet have a January special. I'm at his website here, freezedryguy.com, looking at his preparedness items. Here's the categories he offers. First aid kits, survival tools, water filters, backpacks, sleeping bags, and books and DVDs. Let's just look at backpacks here real quick and see what he has. If I can bring that up. And he has a danger clothes, assault pack, youth size, and 3-day size, and looks like these come already with the stuff already in them. What you need for a 3-day bug out bag? How about that? Pretty neat. Pretty neat. Freeze dry guys. Toll-free number out there on the left coast is 866-404-3663. I'll say again, 866-404-3663. He has a deal for Wiggy sleeping bags, by the way. That's the most highly sought after and most desirable sleeping bag for any Special Forces trooper because they're so warm and so lightweight and so compact. Wiggy, W-I-G-G-Y, Wiggy sleeping bags. There's a link to my website, thelibertyman.com. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's where you'll find my best-selling DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. Great way to start out the year, educating yourself or maybe somebody who needs convincing with my 2-DVD set, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. Professionally shot, 2-camera shoot, professionally edited, professionally packaged. This could sit on a shelf at Walmart or Blockbusters and look right at home the way it's produced and packaged. The Energy Cleaner. Energy Cleaner is a great way to improve your health and mitigate pain. And check it out, the Energy Cleaner. Only $275. Lots of things are at my website, thelibertyman.com, including information on my being doing a consultation with you and your family or doing a speaking engagement for your church on the consultation page at thelibertyman.com. I have a toll-free order line, by the way, 24/7. That's 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. We have our special guest this morning waiting patiently in the green room, Lucas. Lucas is a researcher. I consider him part of my research team. We talk privately, typically several times a week, updating each other on the events that concern us. He's produced several excellent DVDs available at his website, rabbitholenumeral2.com, rabbitholenumeral2.com. And he and I and many of our students are engaged in a 188-day countdown, which I believe, Lucas, it takes us up to what, March, was it 21st, give or take a few days either way, this year?
Yeah, that would be when it is, around the 21st of March.
Okay, outstanding. And your research, which of course is proven by the record, has shown a major earthquake just about one every 188 days for what, a year and a half, coming up on 2 years or so?
Yeah, it would happen four times in this would make five. If it happens five times, it's pretty obvious that there's a pattern there.
So. Well, if it happens three times, it's obvious there's a pattern to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're past, after the third time.
Twice could be coincidence. Three times, we're past, way past coincidence by the third time. And we're coming up on the fifth 6 month cycle here, aren't we?
Yeah, this will be the fifth one. So, well, I wanted to wish you a happy 2012 and everybody else out there. It's the Chinese year of the water dragon. So, happy 2012, everybody. We finally made it this far.
It's not the year of the dragon, it's the year of the water dragon. Is there two different kinds of dragons?
I believe so. I'd have to do more research into it. I do know it is the Chinese year of the water dragon, though, this year. So.
They have, what, the year of the monkey, the year of the rat, and all these different things. And I've never really looked into that, what the significance of that means. But that's the year of the water dragon. Okay.
Yep, we're in for some interesting times. No matter what, you know, if the cosmic event doesn't actually pan out this year, I mean, you still have the economy. And, I mean, there's a chunk of debris the size of California. It's starting to wash up on the west coast of the United States and Canada now, from Japan.
Oh, that's the debris from the tsunami that happened last year.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the size of California, they say.
Really?
And it's going to be floating in over the course of the next year and a half.
Oh, my. Well, that's... Certainly would get your attention. Sounds like a lot of expensive cleanup to me.
Well, yeah, not only that, but I mean, you figure that Fukushima was right near the coast, so whatever was brought in was drug right across all that radiation as it was brought back towards the ocean. So, yeah, you never know what's in that.
Well, I don't know how much of that material would be radioactive. It certainly is. The chance of it being radioactive certainly brings it to a level where it should be checked out to make sure that whatever's coming on shore, if it presents any radioactive hazard, that it's treated with proper respect and dealt with in a manner that will cause the least amount of harm to human beings.
Yeah, well, they're not even telling us that the radiation's being pumped out. They just kind of shut up about Fukushima. You know, they just stopped talking about it. Just one day.
Well, it's bad for business, Lucas. It's bad for,
yeah.
It does not fit with the Chamber of Commerce model, which is let's all go shopping, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it was weird how one day they were talking about it, and then all of a sudden it just disappeared. It was just gone.
Well, that is the nature of the mass media, is that they... You know, the job of the mass media is to sell advertising. That's what they do. And any message that flies in the face of what's good for business is not going to be well received or tolerated for very long, will it?
No, of course not. They want to rake in as much as they possibly can, because the more it all boils down to physical labor. The more physical labor they get out of people, the more supplies they get to stock up.
Well, that's true. I teach concealed carry training, and I use the example of the major metropolitan newspapers and how much hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars worth of advertising, major department stores, major retail outlets that are based in shopping malls spend at these newspapers. And how when, because of that, violent and criminal activity at these malls is either covered up or minimalized because of the revenue that these newspapers get from their advertisers.
Well, yeah, and not just, they've just released the new Air Jordans, and there were little mini riots all over the place, people trying to buy sneakers. And that's exactly why this whole thing is kept secret, because people act like that.
That started in Atlanta. That whole riots over sneakers thing started in Atlanta, Georgia, and it spread to several other cities. We got a call here. It looks like a regular caller, Jeff in Massachusetts. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John. Good morning, and good morning to the guest. John, one thing is the reason why I'm at work in the morning, so this might be one of the first and last times I call up the program. Well, as far as 2012 is concerned, Well, I haven't seen any real weather changes yet, but I'll tell you what I do think is going to happen. A bunch of 9/11 style attacks, the Oklahoma City style attacks, basically, where Obama will pull some stunts like in Oklahoma City and then blame it on patriots like me, you, and the guests. I see that coming. I see martial law. I see the cracking of heads and so forth. So what do you guys see for 2012 in that aspect? Do you see that kind of stuff happening?
Well, I see those things as possibilities, Jeff. How about you, Lucas?
Anything is a possibility. Hopefully I don't wake up one morning and there's two suns in the sky. That's not what you want to wake up and see. You know your day is going to be pretty bad once you do that. other than that, yeah, it looks like, the system, the economic system that they've been trying to patch work together for the last, couple decades is finally coming to an area where they can't hold it together anymore.
Right. Exactly. Now, before I split, you know what? Joe Salente, his prognosis of 2012 is very bleak. So 2012 is going to be interesting. I can see Obama getting in again because of an Oklahoma City-style attack. So hold on to your hats, guys. Have a good one.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Well, I can't rule out anything that Jeff said as being possibilities. I'm not particularly making those predictions myself. And clearly and obviously, Lucas, the economy is certainly in a very serious situation here. World War III, beginning in the Middle East, is certainly more than a remote possibility. Waking up with two suns in the sky, now that would be a cover story, of course. The two suns in the sky would be a cover story for the 10th planet being close enough to see it in the daylight.
Go ahead. Yeah. And, and they would have, I don't know what to think. On one hand, I feel bad for the general population because they're so misled. But on the other hand, you'd have to have some sort of cover story to cover for a couple of days because, if not, the public would just start acting like those fools going for those sneakers. It's kind of a catch-22 situation. That's exactly why this is kept secret, because people can't, if they can't maintain their composure over a pair of sneakers, imagine what they'll do if they think.
Well, that's the power of the media, is to convince, American adults, and these were, I saw the video. These are Americans, they're adults, convince these adults that tennis shoes, that a certain type of tennis shoe has great value, extreme value, to the point where resorting to violence, to the point of breaking the door open of the shopping mall, which is what they did in Atlanta, breaking open the door to the shopping mall to gain entrance so that they could purchase these sneakers. That's the power of the media. And it's an excellent example of the power of the media to convince otherwise rational, sane people to do something that's very insane and very, very irrational.
Yeah. I mean, all that stuff just disgusts me. Black Friday and things like that. They should just gas those places with knockout gas, and people all wake up strapped to a sewing machine in China somewhere where they're making those sneakers for 38 cents a day.
I like the way you think.
They probably cost about 50 cents to make a pair of those sneakers, and they're charging.
Well, it may cost a dollar or two with the material and the labor and the shipping, but not much. And they're selling these things. What do these things go for, a pair of these? Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'll talk about Danner boots as being the best boots money can buy, and a pair of Danner boots is going to go for $225 or $250. But my goodness, it's apples and oranges. And I'm talking heavy-duty insulated leather combat boots that will carry you up and down these hills with a backpack in zero weather and have your feet still be comfortable. Now, that's worth $250. But a pair of tennis shoes? Oh, come on,
Something that's going to keep your feet warm and dry in an emergency situation. Yeah, that's more important for sure.
Protect your feet, I don't care if they're $20 tennis shoes or $200 tennis shoes, you're not going to protect your feet. They can't. It won't keep them dry when it's cold. It won't protect them against rocks and abrasions. They're just tennis shoes.
And, you know, and people go nuts over this stuff because, like you said, the, you know, the media has everybody buffaloed that these cheap Chinese products are gods, basically.
Highly valuable, highly desirable, and it gives you social status, gives you increased social status if you walk around with these things on your feet in public.
Yep.
So you can enhance your social status if you wear a certain type of tennis shoe.
Well, on a split note here,
they had
a super volcano over about 350 miles from the UK. Scientists suspect is acting up and may go off any time now. I was just reading the story.
And is that in what, Greenland?
No, it's in Germany, actually.
Germany? A supervolcano in Germany?
Yeah, a very little-known supervolcano.
Oh, my.
It's not as big as Yellowstone, but this thing goes off between every 1,200 and 12,000 years, and it's overdue by over 1,000 years. So.
Well, yeah, a supervolcano in Central Europe would change the planet in a lot of ways, none of which would be good, I don't believe. Is there some things, some activity there that's causing concern?
Well, yeah, they've been having a lot of carbon dioxide bubble up from the ground, and also a lot of tremors in the area.
Carbon monoxide?
I think it was carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide.
All right. Well, so sulfur dioxide is another thing that comes up with volcanic activity. Well, that's fascinating and something that we can certainly pay attention to and be aware of. That's news to me. What else are you paying attention to these days, Lucas?
Oh, just watching the earthquakes and the mass bird die off in BB, Arkansas again on the same exact day, exactly a year later, that they're saying was caused by fireworks again.
Yeah, that's what they said last year, and nobody believed that.
And then they said it again this year.
Five-year-old grandchildren that was the case, but no adult with an IQ above 60, I don't believe, would believe that.
And so, yeah, we had that. I wonder if it's going to mark the beginning of the mass animal die-offs like it did last time, which was...
That was what? About the first 3 months of the year of 2011, we had animal and fish die-offs. Now, I believe almost all the animals and fish that died off were ones that engaged in a herding instinct. The birds and fish and animals both were all the type that live in packs and herds. Schools in the case of fish. We've got a break coming up. Call number 800-413-9443. We've got time for one more call. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Monday, the 2nd of January. We're visiting with Lucas. His website is rabbitholenumeral2.com. Just go to my website, thelibertyman.com, and on the links page, and scroll down to rabbitholenumeral2.com. Click on it. You'll be there instantly. And he has some interesting educational videos he's put together available at his website. There's three total now, I believe, aren't there, Lucas?
It's The Destroyer Star in the Future of Mankind, The Return of the Great Dragon, and 188 Days.
Okay, excellent productions, ladies and gentlemen. Something that I urge you to incorporate into your repertoire of educational material for yourself, people you care about. If you want to understand our world, our planet, what's coming, what's going on, what's happened in the past, and you can't understand the future unless you understand the past, can you, Lucas?
Oh, yeah, there's, you know, it's interesting that I try and do, and I was just actually doing the other day, was I try and put myself in the shoes of other people, the ancients, and also I've recently just been trying to look at people in the future, you know, 10,000 years in the future, in America, looking at the ruins of our civilization and what they would think. It's interesting perspective to try and do that. And, and you know, get a grasp of what they'd be thinking 1,000 years from now.
Well, it's an interesting perspective. Have you come to any conclusions in that endeavor?
Well, they're going to see a big layer of plastic, and they're going to be like, they're going to be like, "Whoa, look at these people, man! They made all this plastic." And I mean, there is definitely going to be a thick layer of plastic across the world that we left behind during this time period.
Well,
it'll be noticeable.
Well, many types of plastic simply don't biodegrade, do they?
No, they're photodegradable. They got to be hit by the sun. So if they get buried in the ground, they'll last for thousands and thousands of years.
Oh, boy. Well, isn't that special? Well, just looking around me in the studio I'm in today, there's plenty of plastic that would be around thousands of years in the future. Well, that's fascinating. And of course, we're not leaving very many stone monuments as opposed to our older ancestors that people could get worthwhile information from. Maybe we should start carving some things into granite so that people in the future can get some idea about who we really were at our best.
Yeah, I mean, like Mount Rushmore and also the Hoover Dam aligned with the, you know, these things are aligned with the stars, just like Washington, D.C. The whole city was designed to be aligned with the constellation Orion and Sirius and all kind of stuff. So we have done some stuff, but, you know, a lot of that will get knocked down when it all goes crazy.
That's right. That's right. Well, Professor McCanny says that 90% of what could be found by archaeologists has not yet been found. It's still buried. So there's always new things. For example, sometimes right in our backyard, for example, the Valley of Pyramids in Bosnia, where for many, many centuries, these pyramids were right in plain sight, but people didn't know what they were because of a layer of rock and dirt about 8 to 10 feet thick covering them. So there's lots to be found yet still, isn't there?
Yes, sir. And I hear your music, so I want to say I appreciate you having me on today, John.
Lucas, have a great week. We'll talk privately.
Take care.
Okay, that's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. The first show of the year, 2012. If you're in occupied territory, remember the code words. John has a long mustache. Be sure and buy lots of ammunition this year. Never give up your guns. And God bless America.
The next round.